Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. For more information on all things Pneuma, please contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Now get ready for another inspirational message.
Well, let's start. Let's get into it straight away. Acts 28, 11 to 15. Acts 28, 11 to 15. And the title in my Bible is Arrival at Rome. And here's one I've actually prepared for you a little earlier, so if you don't need to turn to your Bible. But after 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island. And landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. From there, we circled around and reached Regium, and after one day, the south winds blew, and then the next day, we came to that place where we found brethren and were invited to stay there with them for 7 days. And so we went on towards Rome, and from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. When Paul saw him, he thanked God and took courage. And the title of my sermon, or the thought that I'm trying to get out, which is probably going to be, it's in here, and so I'm hoping I can just push it on to you guys. But the title of the sermon today is To Give Thanks. To Give Thanks. Like I said, we were just in Adelaide, and it's awesome. Marilla's family's still there. Her sister has another house next to their house, no fence in between. And so we stay in this house that's vacant. It's basically there for us for 2 weeks of the year. It's like we've got our own home. And what they actually also do is provide a car for us. So we go to Adelaide. We're well looked after. But this car is an automatic car. We drive cars that are manuals, and so the gear shift and everything. And so 2 weeks in Adelaide with an automatic car, it's like, oh, you readjust and you put the foot down. But it's like when I came back to Melbourne, I'm telling my son, remind me to put the clutch in. Remind me I've got to change the gears, because what I'd been doing for 2 weeks was just an automatic process, and I had to remind myself again, clutch in, foot on the brake, into first gear. Who drives a manual here? Not many. I won't show you. Who knows how to drive a manual car? That's good. I was going to say, I can work out who doesn't. But it's the same with this thought of, as I'm praying, I'm in Adelaide, I'm going, what do you want to say, God? And this thought of thanksgiving, this thought of gratitude, this thought of giving thanks, sometimes we can take things for granted. Sometimes we can just cruise along life and just go, oh yeah, I love God, I love church. But what I'm trying to do today, or what I'm trying to share or excite you about, or even give you some little thoughts and tips for this year, is almost being deliberate to take a moment to stop. And actually go, okay, I need to put the clutch in. I need to put it in first gear. You're preparing your spirit. You're learning to say, give thanks and be gratitude. Have gratitude and just be thankful for all things around you. Sometimes that's not an automatic process. Sometimes that actually requires us to be mechanical and get ourselves in a position to realize what God's already done. So we... It's a time to operate, it's really just something to help us activate our faith today. This story we were just talking about with Paul, where he was giving thanks, it sounds pretty good. Like, if I was to tell you or say to you, I'm off to Italy for a holiday, it's like, ooh. That sounds good. Well, Paul was the actual first person to actually go on an Italian holiday. He's on his way to Rome. And could you imagine giving Paul some tips on the way through? Hey, Paul, when you go to Rome, don't do this. If you want to order 2 burgers, do this. Because this is 5. You don't want to order 5 burgers. You know, you get friends who've been there before. Okay, when you go here, make sure, when you go to the Colosseum, make sure you eat this. back in Paul's day, it would have been, okay, when you go to the Colosseum, make sure you're not eaten. Do you know what I mean? We might go to the emperor's palace and go, ooh, look at this. This is where the Caesar reigned. He goes, if you go to the emperor's palace, stay to the side. You might lose your head. The concept of an Italian holiday was way different in Paul's time to what our time is. Mate, we're just back in Adelaide with the Italians, and her relatives were on a plane to Italy. They're talking about the gelati. They're talking about the pizza. They're talking about Positano, our Amalfi Coast. All these things Paul wasn't talking about at all. Paul was talking about getting selfies with a lion, but hopefully it wasn't going to devour its head. You could see what the climate change is. It's not what we perceive today an Italian holiday is. And even to get to Italy wasn't like we were today. He went on a cruise. It's like, oh, awesome. You think of cruises, you think of three buffet meals. You think of a movie theater like this. Maybe that's what we should do next January. Go, Pastor Don, why don't we just shut church down for 2 weeks and all go on a cruise, hire a sinner out. Now, that was a joke. But he's going on a cruise. But this cruise, you've got to see what Paul is saying before he says, I give thanks. He goes, first of all, gets arrested in Jerusalem. If you look at this story, how it goes over a long time, he gets arrested in Jerusalem. And then there's a plot to kill him. And on hearing that plot, he is escorted by a heavily armed battalion of Romans to get him up to Caesarea. There he has an appeal and a court appearance. And in that court appearance, he appeals to Caesar. But he actually would have been off scot-free if he didn't have done that. So he appeals to Caesar. And so they're still trying to plot and kill him. And so now he's on a boat to Rome. And it's smoothly sailing. He gets favor with a centurion. And he has to go and get his own supplies. So he can survive this boat trip. But all of a sudden, he's no longer just a prisoner. He's giving advice to the captain, going, hey, this isn't the best way to go, because if this happens, we can see disaster happening. And so he all of a sudden becomes like the mentor, the coach of this whole boat, even though he's a prisoner. And they hit foul weather, hurricane winds, for 14 days. He doesn't eat. There's no buffet on this cruise. They're not eating at all. And then so an angel of the Lord comes and says, hey, make sure no one escapes, because you're all going to be saved. And he's telling him to get food. And then he's basically held them all together. And as it's happening, as he said, and they come ashore and it breaks up and they swim. And you'd think there would be a little bit of gratitude and thanks for what Paul's done, of saving them all and bringing them together. But yet, the soldiers want to kill all the prisoners so they don't escape. So this is his trip to Rome. His Italian holiday. And so the centurion has to talk him out. No, it all must be saved. So he talks his way out of that, or gets God's favor to not be killed there and then on the ship. And then he gets to Malta. I'm sure the Maltese are as hospitable as the Italians, but the Maltese come out with kindness and bring wood, and they're there looking after these shipwrecked people. And so all of a sudden, they see Paul helping gather wood, and a snake comes on him. Who wants to go to Italy now? A snake goes on him. And so all of a sudden, the court of public thought, where they were kind and looking after him, all of a sudden turns and goes, oh, he must be a murderer. He must be a bad person. And so he's got a snake on a hand, and all he does is shakes it off, and then freaking out, he's gone from kind hospitality to them thinking he's a murderer, now to thinking he's a god. And it's like, sometimes it's worse to be thought of more highly than you think you are. And so he's thought as a god, and so does some miraculous works in that place, and then finally gets onto a boat. and onto his cruise to Egypt and lands. And all of a sudden, brothers and sisters, come along. And he says that thing. He says, when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Sometimes we've got to put ourselves in the midst of what's been happening and what actually Paul is drawing out and seeing the things that he holds really valuable. He's seeing that the fellowship, his brothers and sisters come along and encourage him and just say, thank you, God, for bringing these brethren, these brothers and sisters coming along. I think it's something that it was part of his life. See, this trip was his final missionary trip. We see that Paul had made a previous one to Philippi, and he basically with the Philippians, he you see him write. He goes, "For I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstance." So this wasn't like, okay, I'm just pulling out thanks, that's what it is. He's actually learned over his life to be thankful. He's actually learned over his life to actually go, no, my God is bigger. He's actually learned to not focus on the circumstances, but to focus on his God. He's actually learned to go, these circumstances are situational, but my God is everlasting. My God is eternal. So he starts thinking about these things. And so on his past trips, he has learned these things that when he comes to this trip and all of this happens, it's like, thanks be to God. See, you see actually in Acts 27:35, he said, when he was telling everyone who hadn't eaten for a while, he's still in the midst of the storm. He said, after this, he said, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. It's just this sense of gratitude and thankfulness. He was about to be shipwrecked, and he gets a piece of bread, and he acknowledges God. God, thank you. He broke it. He said, thank you for this bread. Thank you. Because he knew it was going to sustain him for the next part of what he was going to do. And so this thought of what we could learn from Paul, this gratitude, this thankfulness, there's more going on that really is going on. There's more looking at an inner man and dwelling upon a gratefulness that God has done. See, what our whole life is about a journey with Jesus. We follow him. We're followers of Christ. And so if any person's been on a journey, they always start at one point and move to another point. And we're not looking at physical destinations that we go on in our personal journey. It's not about accumulating good guitars. eBay. Or maybe getting your own pulpit in your room. I do make my wife call me Pastor Mark at home. But these aren't the things that we're accumulating. We're actually accumulating experiences with Jesus. We're accumulating with our love for one another. And so what happens is you walk forward and you go, oh, Lord, I've been in the shipwreck. I've been in the big storm. And then all of a sudden, he brings you out of that. And that's something that you store away and go, God, I thank you for the day that you actually looked after me. Even though I thought it was coming to an end, all of a sudden you brought me out and you showed me a way forward. You opened up a door. And so what I do now is actually present, I actually use that as a foundation to go on my next step. I thank you for what you've done. Now I look forward for you outworking a new thing, a powerful thing. And so this thought of what Paul has learned, being content, he's stored it away that at the right time he goes, God, thank you, God, you're with me this time. Thank you, Lord, I can trust you. And that's what our life is about to be as believers. Sorry, I'm getting very excited here, aren't I? Oh, I might jump out of my skin in a second, but That's all right. Have we got any doctors? Oh, yeah, we do. Right. Thanks. Which is good. Good to see you, Jade. So I was hoping they'd do it like, oh, I'll go and say g'day to someone, and I was going to come around and try and say hello to all of you before I preach, but we wouldn't be even preaching yet. But let's turn to Hebrews 13, 15. Hebrews 13, 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving or confessing thanks to his name. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving or confessing thanks to his name. I'm not a scholar, but yeah, I understand before Jesus, animal sacrifices would take place to atone, to forgive, to actually take away sins. And this was a ritual that the Jewish would do. They would atone for their sins through a sacrifice of another. And all of it, what it is saying here in Hebrews is Jesus, even if you look at the few scriptures before, is Jesus has been that substitute. Jesus is that substitute of that sacrifice people would used to bring. That whether it was a bull or other animals, they would bring and bring it down and say, forgiveness. But all of a sudden, Jesus has done that once and for all. And so our sacrifice actually is changed. That our sacrifice isn't in the physically picking up or picking of an animal and the physical picking up and carrying it and bringing it along. It is actually through the words, the fruit of our lips. You go to Hosea 14:2. It says, this is what God's saying about sacrifice. This is God's desire, is take your words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away my iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer sacrifices of our lips. Or another translation, the fruit of our lips. See, God wasn't wanting necessarily the animals to be sacrificed, but he was wanting from a confession of our mouth, the fruits that are going on in their side. The heart motives, the heart things in our lives, where we've learned to love, where we understand that we got peace beyond all understanding, like Aaron was talking about in Philippians. We take on the fruit of the Spirit. We actually stir up something, and then all of a sudden, we come to Jesus, the altar, with the fruits of our lips. And one of those things is thankfulness. It says back here, giving thanks to his name, that Jesus has been a sacrifice. And so we can automatically come, rather than a bull on our shoulder, we can come and say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for being our sacrifice. This is where the sacrifice actually comes in. Sometimes it's really easy to thank God. If I told you won the lotto, here's $1 million. I think that would be really easy to say, oh yeah, thanks God. I reckon it would bring immense pressure as well. It's like, what am I going to do with all this money? Mate, my love language is food. Actually, my language is food. My wife calls me an emotional eater. When I'm happy, I eat. When I'm sad, I eat. When I sleep, I eat. I just eat. That's how I connect with people. I don't know why I told you that, but I've lost my mind. Oh, but just this sense of, from the fruit of our lips, from what's going on inside, we're able to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. In Revelation 7:11 and 12, it says, All the angels stood around the throne and elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And so this whole thought of thanksgiving, this whole thought of gratitude, it's something that we can come back in our lives and say, thank you, Jesus. It's something that can come in the midst of any circumstance that we can actually use as a tool. It will be something that was actually modeled in heaven eternity for eternity, like it says here, thanksgiving and honor. And I want to encourage you today. There's this tool that we can use that's called gratitude, that is called thanks, which is thanksgiving, which doesn't look at the circumstances, but actually helps us connect with God and go, you know what? You've got all in control. You have everything under control. Like we learned with Paul in that shipwreck. In that shipwreck, he basically thank God for a loaf of bread in the midst of everything. And so seeing his focus and understanding God's goodness in every situation, he was able to give thanks. You with me? Yeah. Let's give you some little practical tips right now. Who likes practical tips? Yeah. All right. Well, I love it. This is so simple. Jesus, I don't know if you know, he's actually quite wise, quite smart. He says, he basically gets this book. He's like, imagine having that wisdom when you're studying for English or studying in New Zealand. He gets this book and summarizes it in this phrase, love God with all your heart, love one another as you love yourself. That's the Bible right there, bang. And so my application today is going to be around that thought, loving God, loving others. And so the first step to give you some encouragement and thoughts is when we no longer have to sacrifice physical animals, but we learn how to sacrifice with thanks. Jesus has been our substitute, so it's almost something that we go with as our sacrifice to say thank you. And so depending where you're at, it might be easy to say thank you. Just like when they used to slaughter a sacrifice, there would have been a journey that they would have had to walk to present that. And sometimes you and I need to walk a little bit closer to God. We prepare our spirit and our lives by saying thank you. And so what I mean by that is sometimes when I say thank you, I don't actually mean it. So when I actually say thank you, Jesus, it's more of a thought than a revelation in my heart, but yet it's a fact. So I go, okay, I'm going to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is how I'll start my prayers. It could be like, all right, I'm not feeling anything. I don't even feel like praying. But the first thing to actually activate me and get me into the presence of God is say, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Oh, okay. And after a little while, it's like, okay, thank you, Jesus. And then I just see what little prompts come to my head. It's like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you've actually looked after me so much. Thank you that you've, in that time where I thought there was no way, you actually prepared a way. And so I thank you that I don't need to worry. I actually realign myself now to what you've done. And so I thank you, Jesus, for what you're going to do in the future. I thank you, Jesus, that my steps are ordered by the Lord, that you are guiding me and directing me. And so I acknowledge and release you and trust you. And so as it goes on, I start to build my faith and my spirit. And it all starts with, okay, acknowledgement of Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Such a simple tool of just learning, like that going from an automatic car where you just go on life as normal to stopping and going, hang on, I've got to put the foot on the clutch. I've got to put it into first gear. Thank you, Jesus. Being deliberate in our actions, in our words, in our sacrifice, going, thank you, Jesus. I love it. That's how I'll often start my prayers. Thank you, Jesus. And little thoughts will come in. It doesn't start off with, oh, Lord of the heavens and the earth, how great thy name is. That's about 5 minutes into it. It starts off with something like, thank you for my family. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my son. You know, I was praying this once. Me and my wife were trying to have a child, and it just took a little bit too long, we thought, but God had it all under control. I remember I was driving on East Link, and I started to thank God for things in the past. Going, God, thank you, you've been with us. Thank you, you guided us here, you directed us here. All of a sudden, I just felt like there was God's power on it. And then I started saying thanks to the things in the future that have not yet come. And I said, Lord, I thank you that you've looked after us. Thank you that you're caring and you've seen. But I thank you for my future child. I started to say thanks for the things that he'd put in our hearts. And I was going back and forth. Oh, thank you, Lord, for bringing me and Morella together. But thank you, Lord, for our future son. And it was like this back and forth, because in God there is no time. There is nothing that he can't do. And even the things you haven't seen, he has already done in the heavenly and is waiting to release them. And so what we're doing is acknowledging and just releasing that thanks for what God's wanting to do. So that's how I kind of pray. How I read the Bible and maybe journal is the other day I read Hebrews 13:6. The Lord is my helper. So I've written it three times. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. And as I start to journal, I'm going, okay. Thank you, Lord. You are my helper. My helper. And that transition to a place of where we're meant to be as children of God. Thank you. It's that sacrifice that has been done through us through Jesus. And now we can actually say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. I can walk boldly into my Father's presence. I can actually pray. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, this give thanks to for others and to others. That's how I kind of do to God. But give thanks to others. Look, I'll just say it as this. Talk's cheap. This is what I think, all right? You know, when someone says, hey, we should catch up. Yeah, that would be great. Year goes around. Yeah, we're going to do that thing. Yeah. It's like, nah, talk's cheap. If you say you're going to invite someone over. If you're going to do what you say, do what you say. And so this thought of you see someone and you go, oh, I was just thinking of you the other day. It's like, that means nothing to me. So I just think there's things in our lives that when we think of people or care for people or something pops into your head, learn to actually activate that. Send a text. Say, oh, thank you for your friendship. Or you know that thing that you actually did. Thank you. And learning to actually activate those things that you get in your head. Whoever thinks of someone and never does anything about it. Oh, wow. Yeah, thanks. No, we all probably do. And I've still got to do it. But it's almost when those thoughts come into your head, it's like, boom, activate it. And so, you know, I just said hello to Jade before. But Jade, because she's talking in the meeting, I'm actually telling her off. No, it was her husband. That's what she's saying. She's thanking him, yeah. So, but Jade, we work together and it's like, if you see this woman of God at work, she is amazing. The way she actually gets revelation from God and how she outwork it, you could actually sit there for a day and go, you are a gift, you are a blessing. And I remember one day I said,
I tell her every day.
Yeah. He's kind of interrupted a moment at the moment. So, Sorry, Jade, I'm not meaning to focus, but what I said, Jade, I think I texted you or said something. You go, you're an amazing person. You were just such a brilliant person to watch. And I'm so thankful as a person of inspiration and a leader. You kind of help show us the way. And that's, I remember activating that thought and saying, thank you. And so I'm activating it again. But I just want to take, because we've still got 3 hours before we end, I just want to take a moment. Let's take 2 minutes. Who's got their phone with them right now? All right, show me your phone. I'm actually going to let you use your phone in church. All right, this is cool. Pastor Don might not, but oh. I want you to take a moment. So, God, who can I encourage today? Who am I thankful for today? Why don't you take a moment just to text someone? Just, it's kind of rebellious as well in church, isn't it? It's like, well, not listening to the preacher. But who could you actually just encourage today? Who drops into your head? Who are you thankful for? You can even text the person next to you if you don't want to talk to them. Do that. And while that happens, I'm going to sing to you. No, that will just ruin the thankful sermon right now. Take a moment to just see who pops in your heart and activate it and go, I'm thankful for you in my life. I'm thankful for you in my life. It doesn't have to be much. It just can be what is ever's in your hand. And as you do, I'm going to show the photo of the car. This car, that's my son Jai. He's going to be 9 in March. This car my wife bought brand new in 1997. We just were actually able to give it away the other day, and it was awesome. It was like, we'd always said to God, we'd love to give away a car. And it's like, this car has like 340,000 Ks on it. I don't know if this is going to last. But through a divine circumstances, we tried to sell it for a couple hundred bucks and no one took it. And then someone actually said, I used to have this car when I was growing back up in Colombia. Do you reckon I could have it? We go, sure. And so we had to clean out 23 years of junk. Cassette tapes in there. Floppy disk. It's like all these things you accumulate from the past. And so we did that. And we just had to come back. On the way back to Adelaide, we actually took an opportunity. We had to sign over the registration form to the people we gave it to. And so the next photo, this is the Colombian family that we gave it to. And so the gentleman at the back's just new from Colombia. And so we gave it to him, and the gratefulness he washes it every week. We only washed it every few years. They spent money, and like we looked at the inside, there's seat covers and everything's clean and they got it polished. And he says it's working 340,000 Ks. And he says, the mechanic's saying it's got another 200,000 Ks. And so Morella's there and she's going, on the way home, that was awesome. She goes, I can't, his appreciation, it was just so awesome. And so what you had the ability to is be a gift to others. And it doesn't mean that you have to go and look for a Maserati to give away. You just look with what's in your hand. Who can I bless? Who? And it doesn't even have to be material. It could just be through your kind words that all of a sudden, it's like Paul. These brethren walked from the middle of nowhere to come and see Paul, and he says, I thank God for these brethren. And he took courage. You guys have the opportunity to be a blessing. You know, for Pastor Don and Hannah, you've got such an honor, opportunity just to text them and say, oh, we love you. We thank you that you pastor us. We thank you that you create this opportunity for the worship team, for everyone, for one another. It's like, encourage one another and just be that thankfulness is like giving it out. The other one is to actually learn how to receive thanks. I think it's very easy sometimes to say, I don't like people. I don't like receiving praise or thanks or anything. And so I just kind of like get real awkward and squirmish and, oh yeah, nah. You know, the old comment, yeah, nah. It's like, so, yeah, nah. It's like, thanks, Pastor Mark. Ah, oh, nah, yeah. It's like, so you're saying no to the thanks or you're saying yeah? It's like, it's the thing. But it's like almost opening yourself up to receive thanks as well. You know, there was a point, I just felt, like I said, when I think of someone, I try and text straight away, or I'll shoot an email, or I'll call, and just usually just, hey, I was thinking of you, I was just praying for you. And I remember I did this, and I sent 3 texts out to 3 different people, and it was just it just like, I just wanted to thank you, just thank you for being a good friend. You know, 3 text messages, all of a sudden, after the 3rd text message, I receive a text message from a guy from Adelaide who I hadn't spoken to for years. And he came back and he said, Mark, I just want to thank you for your friendship. Mark, I want to thank you for what you, for, you know, who you are and the impact in your life. See, I wasn't actually seeking thanks, but I had to be open and actually store it away in my heart. See, it's kind of this circular motion that takes place. As you give thanks, you receive thanks, so you can give thanks more, so you get receive thanks more, and it's all encompassed in thanking God. And so the last slide I'm going to show you is, I'm going to take a photo of you guys because I need to thank this guy once again. Smile, hands up. Sorry, I'm going to miss some of you, but that's all right. Hands up, everyone, wave. Cheers. It's not really a normal sermon, is it? It's like, these coffee cup, Nespresso cups, I got given to me on my 40th birthday, and I use them religiously. These are part of my coming before God, is usually with these cups in hand with coffee in it. And so a friend of mine, Joel, gave these to me, and I just thought it was the most thoughtful present ever. It's probably the best present ever, just because I use it. And what I actually do is I remember, I almost remember him every day. I go, oh, I thank you for Joel in my life. I thank you for these things. And so there should be little triggers in our life that allow gratefulness, gratitude, and everything just to be, take us away from the shipwrecks, from the plots to kill us. It should be those little things of loaves of bread where we can sit down and go, oh, thank you, God, you sustained me today. Ah, this, thank you, Jesus, that you've sacrificed. And so my sacrifice is now drawing deeper in my spirit to thank you. Which is not much of a sacrifice at all compared to what you've done.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, newma.church. Thank you for listening.